You are Locked On Wolverines, your daily podcast on the Michigan Wolverines, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Happy Wednesday to all of you out there. Yes, we missed Tuesday thanks to some technical difficulties on my end. Hopefully those don't continue. If it does, then that means you're listening and not watching, but hopefully it's both. Anyway, Locked On Wolverines podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. I am your man on the ground, Isaiah Hole, publisher of Wolverines Wire through USA Today Sports Media Group. And as promised on Monday, we have the crossover with Pro Football Focus. That means we're welcoming in Anthony Treisch. Anthony, super happy to have you 2 weeks in a row. How'd I get to be this lucky, man?
Yeah, I mean, the Wolverines keep on churning there. So, I mean, I'm happy to join you and continue to hype up the Michigan Wolverines.
Now, before we get into, we had a pre-show conversation about Aiden Hutchinson. Let's get into that in a minute, because I want to dispel kind of one notion that is, it's not going around that much, but it is a little bit. Like, I've heard it. It's not necessarily the Michigan people seem to be happy with the win over Nebraska, but certainly rival fans are trying to say congratulations on your win over a now 3-4 team. I've heard some things on like SiriusXM that are really downplaying this win and saying that Kentucky should be ranked, for instance, much higher than Michigan because Michigan has just beat a bad Nebraska and a bad Wisconsin team. In your eyes, what does this win mean? How good is Nebraska? I know that you guys have them. You don't have them ranked as one of the worst Big Ten teams, I don't believe, in your overall. I haven't done my overall PFF rankings yet for the week, but nonetheless, I think this is a pretty good Nebraska team that Michigan just beat.
Yeah, I mean, they're not the best, but they're not the worst. Like you said, and, you know, going on the road and an in-conference game like this, I mean, it's a pretty good win for Michigan. I mean, there's definitely some highs and some lows there. You know, specifically Aiden Hutchinson, once again, he tore it up. I thought that was a, you know, defense had a pretty good game, a few let up plays in the passing game that did hurt him. But at the end of the day, Nebraska, I thought they, you know, schematically, they were pretty good there. And so I think any time you're in a position where you're playing a mid-tier Power Five team in conference on the road, I think that's a pretty good win for Michigan. And, you know, considering that they did control most of the game up until the fourth quarter there, you know, I thought that was quite impressive.
Well, yeah, and I think that I agree with you. I mean, it's hostile environment too. I mean, I was there. It was pretty daunting. That was one of the, I don't agree with, we spoke to Jess Spate yesterday and he said, you know, it was right up there with Penn State. I won't go that far. Penn State is, you can't hear yourself think. Not just you can't hear someone next to you. It was certainly you can't hear someone next to you, but just to be able to go out and get a win like that, I think is imperative. So let's start with that defensive side of the ball. Like I was recounting to you the story that I put on Twitter. I don't know if I said it on Monday's podcast, so I'll say it again here. So I'm taking an Uber to go watch the early games. I have all my stuff with me, my camera equipment, my backpack with my computer and all of that. And I'm working on my iPad while getting driven from my Airbnb to downtown Lincoln. And guy's clearly a Nebraska fan. He's wearing a Huskers mask and he's asking me what my opinion of the game is. And I told him exactly what I said on the preview podcast, that I think Michigan pulls away late, but I think it's a tight game until late. So the game kind of went reverse of what I thought, but nonetheless, he asked me like what I thought about Michigan's defense versus Michigan's offense or Nebraska's offense. And I mentioned Aiden Hutchinson being this game wrecker. And he's like, I'm not concerned about him. We have this, this left tackle. He just switched things up and he's might be a true freshman in his second game, but, and I'm like, let me stop you right there. And I'm like, Anthony Treisch, who I mentioned you by name, by the way, I was like, he would vehemently disagree immediately about this true freshman being able to just handle Aiden Hutchinson. So what is it that you see from Aiden Hutchinson? Because you ended up being your defensive player of the week from a national perspective yet again this week. Didn't show up that much on the stat sheet, but what did he do that you saw that says, hey, Yeah, he's still doing Aiden Hutchinson things.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, didn't show up much in the stat sheet. No sacks there, just one hit on the quarterback. But he had seven hurries. And, you know, that's the big thing that we here at PFF like to preach. You know, don't really trust the sack totals. Always look at the pressure rate. I mean, that's a better predictor of impact in a single game. And we saw Aiden do that consistently. You know, eight total pressures, like I said, on 30 pass rushes. That led him to an elite pass rush grade for the game. I thought Adrian Martinez, the Nebraska quarterback, you know, he got the ball out quickly. In those times that Aiden was getting after him, you know, that's why we really didn't see some of those sacks there. But he definitely impacted the game. I mean, it made things a lot more difficult on Nebraska's offense. And that's why he ended up winning our Defensive Player of the Week for the second consecutive week, the third time he's actually made a PFF's Team of the Week. And he's the only player in college football that can say he's done that so far this year. I mean, he's just one of the most polished pass – actually the most polished pass rusher in college football. I mean, he's got immense power. Really good get off, good at timing the snap, great hand placement across the board. I mean, it's just, he's a load to handle. I mean, you know, he's pretty much a game wrecker. You know, we've kind of been seeing that throughout the first portion of the season. And this game against Nebraska on the road kind of verified that. You know, I'm excited to see what he can do on the season's second half, because right now, he's got to be the, you know, in consideration, probably the favorite, you know, for Defensive Player of the Year in college football.
Well, that's certainly probably not something that many people expected. And I know that y'all have been preaching about how good he is coming into the season. But when you have players like Kayvon Thibodeau out there, I know he's been limited and what have you. But I mean, it's still I don't think that people necessarily thought that that Aiden would end up being this good. Let's look at the rest of the defense. What did you like and maybe what didn't you like about what you saw from Michigan's defense against Nebraska? Obviously, there was a lot of bending, a little bit of breaking. I thought that there were some good plays by Brad Hawkins, although Jake Butt said on our X is a No show, which still is not up yet thanks to technical difficulties, that that Brad also was the one that that caused the first touchdown, that he wasn't on that tight end, but still, like, you know, game-winning play. Daxton Hill, some of those guys kind of all over the place. Mozzie Smith graded up really high for you, as well as David Ajabo, if I remember correctly. So who did you like? What did you like what you saw? And what didn't you like?
Yeah, so, I mean, I thought it was a pretty good game defensively overall. There were a handful of plays that, you know, weren't really the best. Kind of, not very typical of Michigan. Like you said, that first touchdown was one. I thought there were a few different instances of Nebraska running play action and everybody severely biting on it. You know, even Hawkins on that first touchdown, there was another play. I believe it was late in the third quarter where they did the same thing, linebackers bit, and then kind of caused some confusion there. So I thought they played well overall. Like I kind of mentioned earlier, I got to give a lot of props to Nebraska's offense just because I thought they made, throughout the game, I thought they were really well-designed plays called. That really did help them and kind of gave them that little bit of a spark there to kind of get back into the game. And so I wouldn't be too concerned about some of the big plays they let up. I think those are going to be teaching moments for them on what to do and how to react to that. You know, early in the game too, there was a fourth down, you know, Nebraska motion into a bunch formation and, you know, got a big gain there. So I think there were some positives, but I do think, you know, some of the low moments would not be too concerned about. Like I said, I think this was kind of a good teaching moment for them and kind of get them ready for the second half of the season.
All right, well, let's move on to the offensive side of the ball. But before we do that, got to tell you all about a few things. Let's start with Prize Picks. Now, Prize Picks, this is something that I absolutely love. I'm sure that you will as well. It's daily fantasy made easy. Prize Picks is a leader in college sports daily fantasy. Prize Picks offers more college football props than anyone in the world and offers all of the star players of the Power Five, as well as mid-major players you might not have ever even heard of. That is, unless you go to Pro Football Focus and check out all of their amazing premium stats. That's, by the way, something that you should do. Prize Picks offers any prop that you can think of, from yardage to touchdowns, even interceptions thrown. Make your initial deposit. Use the promo code Locked On and receive 100% deposit match of up to $100. You can pick up to 2 to 5 players and an over under on their projections and win up to 10 times on any entry, and it's just you versus the projected numbers. Prize Picks allows mixed sport entries. That means you can take the over on LeBron combined with the under on Mahomes in the same entry. Use the award-winning app on both the Apple App Store and Google Play. Entries can be made in 60 seconds or less. It's that easy. PrizePicks is safe and offers fast withdrawals, so don't hesitate. Check out prizepicks.com, use the promo code LOCKEDON, or go to your Apple or go to your App Store, wherever you get it, and download the app today. PrizePicks is daily fantasy made easy. Now, the next one, I'm not even using a script, and I hope I hit everything that that they want. But if you're looking at my Michigan hoodie, which, by the way, is the most comfortable hoodie that I own, tied with my Slippery Rock hoodie, and you're like envious, I can tell you exactly where to get that. And coincidentally, we got Anthony Trichon on the other side also wearing something from the same place. That's Home Field Apparel. They make these amazing vintage style curated apparel products for myriad schools. Michigan got added last year. The collection is phenomenal. I have, I think, three things from the Michigan collection. I have the Slippery Rock hoodie. There's a bunch of other things that I'm actually planning on buying today. They have their big new Saturday shirts that come out every single week. And I'll tell you this, y'all know how much I dislike Georgia just for various reasons. And yet I want this Georgia shirt, right? There's a lot of times I don't like Texas, but I want the Bevo shirt. It's all very specifically curated. They go through, they look at all of these different things about your school, whether it's Michigan or Tulane, or it kind of doesn't matter what school. They find all the cool niche designs, and then they make these awesome vintage shirts and sweatshirts and hoodies and everything that you want. And let me tell you, it's unbelievable. I have spent my own money at Home Field. And as you can see, Anthony's also wearing Home Field. So don't delay. Go to homefieldapparel.com. Use the promo code LOCKEDONWOLVERINES and get 15% off of your first order. That's homefieldapparel.com. 15% off of your next order with Locked On Wolverines. Okay, so anyway, Anthony, thank you for again for joining. Let's talk about the offense, because the offense, I thought it had a really good showing, particularly the ground game. People, however, fans are being a little undued, in the words of I don't remember John Goodman's name of his character in The Big Lebowski, but that's what they're being when it comes to Cade McNamara. I have seen that he's dropped in the quarterback rankings as far as the Big Ten, when I stack all the Big Ten quarterbacks against each other from PFF's passing grades. What have you seen from Cade? Because I certainly people want to see JJ. I understand that impulse, but Cade's doing everything Michigan wants. Sure, it's not necessarily perfect, but nonetheless, he's getting the job done. What have you seen from him?
Yeah, I mean, this was a game that this was one that I kind of circled, and I was like, okay, this is going to be a big game to kind of like figure out, you know, who Cade McNamara really is, just because those first few games, you know, they were not relying on the passing game at all. That was all the ground game. And it was very easy for Cade, very good environment for him to succeed. I thought this would be a little bit tougher, and it definitely was for him. And I thought that he really didn't rise to the occasion. And that's why I'm a little bit concerned now, you know, projecting them moving forward. Now, I do think the ground game of the defense can get the 10 wins. Like I said, last time I joined you, I still believe that in that prediction. But being a little bit more than that, you know, can this team actually go up against Ohio State? I think Cade's got to improve based off what we saw this past week. Nebraska, I thought they played really good coverage on the back end, but there were several instances of, you know, Cade kind of making the wrong decision there. I mean, you know, the one that really stood out was the deep ball into triple coverage. You know, there were a few instances where he, you know, shouldn't have thrown it to a certain receiver, you know, wasn't very accurate overall in the night, had more than double the negatively graded throws and positively graded ones, ended up with a poor passing grade in the mid-50s there for the game after our final review. So, you know, I definitely think, you know, it's not – this game shouldn't be like the single instance of like, okay, we need to get Cade on the bench, bring in JJ or anything like that. You know, we still need to see a little bit more from him, but it wasn't really that great of a performance for him. And so I'm curious to see kind of how he performs over the next few Michigan games. Because I mean, when they play Michigan State here in a couple of weeks, I mean, they're going to need everything they can have offensively, because I do think that as good as Michigan's defense is, that Michigan State's offense is good. And I would not be surprised we see Michigan State leak out for a couple of big scores there, even though this is a good defense. So I think the offense is going to have to be ready to put up some points. And that's why I think Cade, the pressure's on him a little bit over the next few weeks. But, you know, I'm still confident in this Michigan team. You know, at least in the bright side, you have someone like JJ, who has potential star status in there. And also has already showed, like we said, you know, that big passing touchdown a few weeks ago. You know, there's definitely some potential there behind Cade. But, you know, like I said, not the best start.
Now, I will defend him on the triple coverage throw, because that was clearly, and I didn't even, I did my vantage point, I didn't even have to see that this was the case. I'm going to defend him because he clearly knew that there was an offsides. I thought that was a heady play. And so he just threw it to the guy furthest downfield, knowing it was a free play. So I understand what you're saying. That's the only one that I'm going to defend him on, because I think that he was like, free play, I'm going to throw it downfield. If it's completed, cool. If it's not, not whatever. But I'm with you on
that's definitely fair. Definitely fair. But yeah, I do think, you know, even with that one there, I mean, it was just like, there were other instances there, you know, throwing to the wrong receiver. You know, even though with that one there, it was definitely an opportunity to take a chance. I do think that there was probably an opportunity to take a different route, try to get a better gain, than that, where it was quite clear. I mean, even though with that, that didn't go down as a turnover-worthy play in our grading system because of the free play scenario there. But it was downgraded as a negatively graded throw, just because, you know, there was an opportunity elsewhere. And, you know, it was kind of a play where it was quite clear that it was not going to work out. But yeah, I definitely see where you're coming from, and I can see the argument to be made with that one.
All right. That's the only one I'll defer to you on everything else, but that one, just because even during the play, someone turned to me on the sidelines and was like, what is he doing? And I was like, I didn't even see a flag yet. And I'm like, well, that there was certainly had to have been an offsides there. And I was right. So I like being right about the one thing that I can be right about in a game. Nonetheless, what else about Michigan's offense? Obviously they still managed the ground game very much had kind of a return to normalcy, in the sense of we saw 205 yards sack adjusted. Do you feel like it's back? Because yeah, we didn't really see it for a half against Rutgers. We didn't see it for basically the whole game against Wisconsin because of what Wisconsin does. Do you feel like the ground game is kind of back to doing what it was doing earlier in the season?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely going to be tough to kind of, you know, come close to replicating the kind of success they had early on in the year, just because the schedule they played those first four games, you know, those defenses are not the best. I mean, Washington, I mean, that was a good one there, but, you know, their defense has been definitely underwhelming, as that team has been overall in every single facet. But I don't think they're going to be able to, you know, kind of go back to what they were those first four games. But I do think that they're going to be able to have some success against some of the defenses they have slated to come up, just because, like you said, Wisconsin, and even Nebraska too, what they did, those are tough run defenses, especially Wisconsin there. So I was not, like I said last week, not a surprise to see what they did. And so I do think that that's still going to be able, you know, a path to kind of lean on in some of their, you know, second half games. But when the time comes, kind of like I said, against Michigan State and even Ohio State at the end of the year, I mean, they're not going to be able to do that completely. They're going to need some explosive plays from the passing game. And so I do think that this is still a very good rushing attack, one of the better ones in the Power Five. But at the end of the day, that can still only get you so far. Running backs do matter in college football, just because of the talent disparity at some positions there and some of the teams that you'll see face, and which we saw through the first four games of the season. But once you get some, you know, evenly matched competition there, that's when you start to need to see the, you know, passing game really take off there. So I do think that it can get them past a lot of teams, but, you know, the ones, like I said, circling Ohio State, Michigan State, they're going to need the pass just a little bit more, and not just the run game.
Now, I want to actually go away from Michigan for a minute here as we finish out with Anthony Treach from PFF, because like you mentioned that Michigan State game, we're weeks away from that. Michigan's on its bye right now. We've got Northwestern up next in 2 weeks as it is, but In order to move forward, obviously, to get to that 10 wins, they're going to have to get one of the, because there's three games that I think that Michigan should pretty much easily win, and that's, you know, Indiana, Northwestern, and Maryland. You're going to have to get at least one against Michigan State, Penn State, and Ohio State. I'm pretty leery of Michigan State right now, especially just like you said, it's looking pretty dynamic offensively. The place where it doesn't look as dynamic in my eyes is on defense. And even though it'll have some good games, I look at some of the box scores when I don't get to see the games and I see how many passing yards they give up. They're really good against the run. What are you seeing from Michigan State's defense? What are the weaknesses? Did I nail it just by looking at the box scores, or does it not tell the complete story? What do you think?
No, I think you hit the nail on the head with that statement. The coverage unit is definitely the biggest and clear weakness within that program. I'm a big fan of edge defender Jacob Panishuk. I think he is one of the more underrated players in college football. I think last year didn't do him, you know, any favors either. You know, he caught COVID before the year, lost a lot of weight, and really wasn't up to his standards when he was on the field. Now I think he's kind of getting back to what he was in 2019. He's going to be, you know, a true force there. So I do think that their coverage unit, definitely the biggest weakness on the team. And so I think that kind of does some favors for the passing offense, kind of like I've been hinting at. It's definitely going to have to be a Cade McNamara game where he does step up. And I do think that against this coverage unit, it will be a little bit easier than it was against Nebraska, even though it's on the road as well. Just because, you know, this team's greatest strength is up front. Also, too, you have Jacob Slade, one of the top run defenders in the conference there, 86.0 grade in that facet. So, you know, I do think the talent is definitely up front there. I like the safety Xavier Henderson as well, but I do think that, you know, Michigan's at an advantage just because of the weakness with Michigan State. And I do think, too, especially what we saw, you know, this past week with some of the play action concepts that Nebraska ran, this team is going to Michigan's defense is going to have to be kind of on the lookout here, because this Michigan State offense, very play action heavy, and that's where their success has really thrived off of. They're actually the most efficient offense in the Power Five when running a play action concept there. Peyton Thorne, he has the arm to hit the downfield throws. The average depth of target discrepancy is kind of something unlike anything I've ever seen really at the Power Five level. You typically see this with some of the smaller schools, the more of these college offenses, but you're looking at this Michigan State team, when they're running play action, they're throwing the ball on average 16 yards downfield. You know, without it, it's over 10 yards less than that. And they've been having a lot of success, like I mentioned just a minute ago, with that. And then you also pair in, you know, Kenneth Walker, dynamic running back, one of the most elusive backs in college football. This is a tough Michigan State offense. So I do think it's not even, not even looking at Michigan's offense versus that defense. I do think this is going to be a good test for Michigan's defense as well, going up against Michigan State's offense. And, you know, like I said, I do think the moments from this past week will be learning moments and something to kind of think about, you know, going ahead of this game, where they're going to have to be on their toes and make sure they're not biting as severely as they did.
Well, anxiously awaiting that one, anxiously awaiting yet another game as it is. Anthony Treach, PFF, thank you for joining as always.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
Anthony Treach, as always, really, really good stuff from him. Anyway, let's talk a little bit about some of these things here momentarily. But before we do, I got to tell you a little something about Built Bar. Y'all know how much I love Built Bar. If you don't know what Built Bar is, it's a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. It is delicious. I have put my money where my mouth is so many times. I have bought dozens of boxes. I will be buying more boxes today, probably of peanut butter brownie and some others. They have these churro puff things that sound really good. Haven't tried those yet. Nonetheless, it is high protein, low calorie, low carb. It's everything that you want, everything you need. I can have two at a time because I'm a glutton, but at the same time, what it does is it allows me to still have that high protein and low calorie. It's less calories, higher protein than going out and getting a Metrics Big 100. And it's a great meal replacement. So don't delay. Go to built.com. Use that promo code LOCKED15. That's built.com, promo code LOCKED15, to get 15% off of your next order of Built Bar. All right. Let's just finish out. Not a ton here. I don't have a voice for some reason today. I just want to, I don't want to just ramble like I can. I know we didn't talk on Tuesday thanks to my technical difficulties and such, but hopefully that's in the past. Hopefully the video is up as well as the audio. Certainly, though, the audio is going up way earlier than any potential video. Anyway, see, no voice. I am leery of Michigan State, as we talked about. Just looking at what they've done offensively, some of those games that we've watched that I've gotten a chance to see, they've just been getting better and better from the offensive standpoint. It's a lot of things to defend between all the receivers and Kenneth Walker. Their offensive line is doing a really good job. I think that Aiden Hutchinson and David Ojabo are going to be able to do their thing. I think that's certainly going to happen. Michigan's still rated much higher. I mean, not much higher, but higher than Michigan State and Pro Football Focus's ratings. They're a 94.1. That's good for fifth in the country in the FBS. And Michigan State's 12. So, I mean, it's not like this giant disparity, but it is a disparity, right? And still, according to PFF, Wisconsin is the best win so far for Michigan. They are 37 in the country. And at the same time, you look at Michigan and Michigan State both played Rutgers. They both played Nebraska. The Rutgers game certainly went different for both teams. Nebraska, they both won. Michigan won in regulation. Michigan had more offensive success. So you can slow down their offense, right? If Nebraska can do it, and that was a home game for Michigan State, then, I mean, that makes you think that, all right, maybe that isn't as daunting as it kind of looks sometimes. Maybe I'm buying too much into their own hype, but I think that that's going to be a game that Michigan's going to be able to get now. Not necessarily going to be able to get. I still think that that's a tough game for the Wolverines to get. I feel more confident in them being able to beat Penn State. And according to PFF, Penn State is, where'd it go? Penn State's not even, they're 40th. Penn State's a worse team in PFF's estimation than Wisconsin. So I like Michigan against Penn State. So right now, if I'm going to say they're going to go 10-2 in the regular season, unfortunately, the loss would be the two rivals. People would be up in arms, certainly. But it would be what it is. And I think that even before the season, if you said 10-2, but Michigan State and Ohio State are the only two losses, I think people would take it, right? Because they'd be like, well, Wisconsin and Penn State, all right. I don't know. What do you think? Hit me up on Twitter, I guess. I don't know. I don't have a lot to say. I think that's going to be it. I think we're just going to call it. Yeah, we're just going to call it. It's a bye week. I'm just going to take it easy. But tomorrow's the mailbag. I'll wait for my question call on Twitter, put in all of that, and yeah, for the mailbag. And that'll do it. Yeah, I'm just very discombobulated. It's the bye week, man. It's been a long 6 weeks. They've flown by, but it's also been a long 6 weeks. But we'll call it on account of rain. We'll talk to you tomorrow with mailbag. Thank you for watching and or listening. We'll talk to you soon. Thanks. Peace.